Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my interview today is with Kazimierz Kozak. Kazimierz grew up in the 1930s on a little farm in the countryside, just outside of Radom, Poland, an hour and a half from Poland's capital, Warsaw. Kazimierz remembers a carefree childhood for the most part. That was until the war came to his farm on September 1st, 1939. That was the day that Germany invaded Poland and started World War II. German soldiers broke through Polish defenses along the border and quickly advanced on Warsaw. Hundreds of thousands of refugees fled the German advance, and after days of heavy shelling and bombing, Warsaw surrendered to the Germans. And within a month, Russian forces took most of eastern Poland, while the Germans occupied the west. The dividing line between the two forces put Kazimierz and his family right in the middle of the war. And a warning to listeners, Kazimierz will be describing his experience as a boy in the midst of war, and that may be triggering for some. So how old were you during the war?
Well, I was 10, 11, you know, this few. I saw many things. So it's another long story about book, what I saw, what I experienced through all this war. And
so when the war started, you were living on the farm that you
farm.
You grew up on the farm.
Yeah, and in the north on the river Vistura is big bridge. Uh-huh. You know, like interstate and bridge, and
right.
I remember how the Germans bombarded us bridge and all kind of stuff. And
so, do you remember the first day when you knew the war was going?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You were 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that was many things. What it's hard to even swallow.
So tell me about that first day that the war started.
Well, was you know, I never saw war. Was interested. German coming and Polish army was going away, you know. So they going to the river and come to our side. Slept in our place. Sometimes 10, 20 soldiers, and so we feed them. We didn't. They sometimes leave some uniform, some army blanket or something, you know,
to pay you.
But it was all kind of situation. Next evening come other one take away.
So the next group would not be so friendly and take whatever was left by the ones that came before.
Well, they just, you know, they want to survive. They, you know, they have nothing, you know. It was hard. So
did you stay on the farm the whole time?
Yeah. Well, in the war, when Russian army coming, so we have to move because.
So when the Rush, towards the end of the war, when the Russians started to move in,
they
moved the Germans out.
Yeah. So you know the Russians started pushing very hard. So German army threw guns and want to go away. They say Hitler kaput, Hitler kaput. They don't want to fight, and finally, 50 kilometers in the west is city Radom. Is some German general, take all this army, whoever, you know, and bring them to river. They have still time to come to river and make a front, you know, be other side river and take up people and dig trenches and everything. And that and Russian come later and they staying, shooting to the river, fighting and.
So you were watching all this?
Oh yeah, I was watching when shooting plane above your head, and that was first time you never have experienced that, to somebody shooting and above you and something on the lips. You don't know what is this, you know, those little shrapnels, whatever, and
uh-huh.
And finally plane flame and parachute come down and they shoot them in the air. And okay, so it's a long story about
you were in the middle of this.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
when you decided that your family decided you had to get out of there, right?
Well, we stayed for a while, and later when this old German come to river, they were shooting and shooting, shooting, because Russian army was better positioned, was a little higher ground, other side river they see far away on the west. Machine gun, big machine gun stay on a higher spot, and the river bottom, and the oddish Russian coming through it and shooting, and just river was red, you know, the shooting. And finally, they said, well, okay, they sent 50 people. They said, just 5 die, always other side. And the information to another groups. And it's just 5, you know, survive over there. And
so they were lying to them so that they could get them to,
yeah,
to come
to go,
and
to
fight.
Encourage them to go. And
even though that was a bloodbath.
And then finally, we live by forest. So after that shooting, we didn't have father this time, because my aunt called from city. She said, well, the city will be scary things. You know, you are by in a country, in a forest. We can. And my father took horse wagon and go bring him. And he went to city, and German catch him and take him horse wagon and put him to dig trenches. Later they give him horse and keep him, you know.
So he was going to the city for
bring my aunt
to bring yeah. your aunt, but they, the Germans caught him.
German caught him, and so we don't know what happened with father. We just built some bunker and stay. And
who is we? Is it your mother?
My family, my mother,
and your brother.
5 brothers. Yeah,
your 5 brothers.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. Kazimierz Kozak was a boy when the Germans invaded the Polish countryside near his home and started World War II. Kazimierz's father has just gone to the city of Radom to bring his aunt to live with them, but Radom is now fully occupied by the Nazis, and his father has been forced to stay and work for them. It would be weeks before he was allowed to walk home without his horse and cart. So anyway, you stayed in a bunker while all this fighting was
yeah,
going on along?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever was shooting, we just like rats going to this bunker and stay, you know. Sometimes 3 days you cannot eat, you cannot eat because he's shooting. Once my oldest brother, she went to garden, he picked some cucumbers and put in a pocket cucumbers and start shooting. He come and forget about eating, about anything, you know, just praying.
Because they were shooting at him.
Yeah, and then after a while, this big shooting, long time, finally was like quiet, and German army come to our place from west through the forest, and everybody have to go out. And you gone to you Tommy, and it was funny because this oldest brother, big boy, and he have something like grenade in his pocket, and he think this have grenade. And
the soldiers thought it was a grenade.
Soldier put his rifle to his, you know, Tommy, and talk to other guy, other soldier. This other guy soldier come and try to empty this pocket, take out his cucumber. They look each other, a little smile, but when they saw this, you see his face, he was like scary, not scary, he have gone, but you know, it's not an unusual situation. So, and then said, okay, everybody go and Radom in the west, the big city called, so you know where to go.
Kazimierz and his family were forced to grab whatever they could carry and head to the city of Radom on foot. What they didn't know was that the Nazis were turning Radom into a prisoner of war camp designed to persecute the Poles and to round up the 30,000 Jews that lived there and send them to the Treblinka extermination camp.
And we go in this big forest. It is like ants, so much German army and digging. We're walking through the forest in line, and we see some soldier digging a trench for machine gun trench, and we walk into this, and finally shrapnel whoom in a tree and tree, and so you scared, but you cannot go back. You have to
So were the Germans following you, making you, marching you?
Yeah.
So they were saying you can't go back.
Yeah, you cannot go back.
So you were walking through this war field.
Yeah. Well, this was just Russian was shooting this place because they know a lot of troops come. And so
mortars were coming in while you were walking along.
Yeah.
People were getting blown up.
Yeah, and later we come to forest where it's little, you know, like valley.
Uh-huh.
And all forest.
The valley, the forest.
Valley, you know, always springtime is a lot of water coming from snow anyway. So we stop over there and all these people come and we start to building bunkers and stay over there, you know. We was like three family together and... And we stay for, and it was many shooting. Sometimes it was our shooting, these trees breaking down. And then, so finally, my father and these other people decided, no, well, we have to go away from here because we have no peace here. My father, he was going through World War One, so he know a little bit about, and he was in army, you know, later after war. And he said, let's go and south, you know, and other people who are together, they have some family over there, and we're going south early morning, and we come over there, you know, whole village, you know, nobody there, buildings, everything's nobody there. We took one farmhouse where was some, like, root cellar, and was a stone building.
So no one was around, it was deserted, and you just moved into this place.
So we stay, there was nobody there, you know, we have food. We go to other farm and go inside, you can find chicken, you can find this, you know, nobody there, you know, and after a while, the German discover us. But we stay, you know, a few days and say, we don't have, you know, have one shirt, one pants, and nothing. My mother said, we left everything, you know. This was summer, we have all that food and mushrooms from forest. We have big mushroom, dry mushrooms, everything. So let's go home. It was like straight line, maybe 2 kilometers or maybe more. And said, let's go and bring something. We have food, we have shirt, we have everything. And we start walking. Well, we're going through the... Nobody there, nothing, empty. And
but there were all these farmhouses, but no one was there.
No, you know, civil people. But finally, we maybe walked kilometers or so, and some person is coming. And she said, where are you going? Oh, my mother said that we have a house over there. We need some clothes and food. She said, nyeh. You cannot go over there. This is Rus over there, means Russian troops. Uh-huh. They can kill you. You can see this? This farmhouses. This is all yours. You can find some food. You cannot go over there. Uh-huh. So we come back. Next day, my mother can give up. So let's go again, and we start walking again, and we walk in a lot further this time, and we walk one place, road down. And we see our neighbor daughter, you know, girl. And girl from this house, what we're going walking by, I said, what's going on? If everybody alive, well, she said, well, they start to explain what's the situation. And this farmhouse was a lot of German soldiers and some officers. And looks like they don't pay attention what we're doing here even. But finally, one is coming down and come here.
Uh-huh.
It just looks like officer, not regular soldier. Come here. And so we're walking down to road, and this girl go up. After a while, he turned and see this girl going up. He took pistol, boom. He didn't aim to kill them, but he just shooting this way. Hey, my mother, Sophie, come back because he kill you. So the girls come down and he keep this gun. In the hands, and we follow him, and we come to one building, farm's house, for the fence was ditch, and he can stand up here, you know.
Yeah, he ordered
explains,
you to...
By this ditch, and he walk in this house. And after a while, little short soldier come out and take rifle, and he's walking to us. And he was Ukrainian. People join the German army.
They're Ukrainians?
Yeah, and they was very tough.
They
was
were
no
mean.
Mercy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he's coming, and my legs was like rubber. We stayed by ditch. He shoot us, and we fell in ditch like usually they doing. And I just grabbed my mother, her hands, and he came and started rushing because he was, you know, Ukrainian. He said, who understand a Russian? And my mother, I understand Russian because she was World War First and Revolution, 1917 in Russia, you know. So I said, mother, I don't say, but I thinking, mother, what you doing? You know Russian, and we going to Russian way, but we have no time to say anything. But she said, why you going to this way? And my mother said, well, we have house over there. We have food, we have clothes, so we want to. No, you cannot go over there. This is Russian, he kill you. But what he meant, that they have some information that Russian will be shooting here. So we come out, I looking, he don't take this rifle from his shoulder, he not shooting, and we come up, everything fine, but we come up, at shh. My mother was pregnant this time, and you know, whenever I see, I fell, but mother never fell, you know, lay down, you know.
So that was, those were the Russians.
Russian was shooting.
Firing mortars in on.
Yeah, and those shooting, you know, shrapnels, and I tell you, this side, boom, boom, and finally we came to this place when we leave, and so we never try again.
You stayed there.
Yeah,
then?
Well, we stayed for a while, and German find us.
Again.
And they come and say, you have to get out on the Radom, in the west, you know. They mentioned the city in the west. And so we just early morning and get out and go, but still going south, not going straight west. And we find another farms, you know, house, and we stay over there to time when Russian came over there.
So how long, how many months was that? How long did that
go on?
Well,
this was about months, you know, together. But this day was so long, and night was so long, and I tell you, and we have, and they don't touch us so much because up a little bit, and one farm was little cannon, what they shooting to tanks.
Right.
And it was like five German soldier crew. And they saw us, they don't give us any bedtime. And finally one day they say, one soldier come early morning, he say, you have to go away from Anarado on the west because this will be a big fight here. And he went down because another people live, they know everybody who live there. And he went down and said, okay, let's eat something, pick some milk for cow and some bread, and this was our breakfast, you know, and we tried to do it, and one moment, just fire. So, you know, everybody goes. So root cellar under house. House was wood and straw roof, and barn was stone. Wall, but straw roof, almost no right. ceiling, and it was like grain house, you know, was wood, dry wood and straw roof. And so this old woman and kids, they go to this fruit cellar, and my father and my two brothers went to this barn.
The barn.
It was cows and it was horse and little horse, and we saw, I tell you, just smoke when the shrapnels, and you cannot see, just imagine that one moment and this everything will be, you know, shrapnel here or fire or whatever, and no survival, you know, we're just praying, you know, when shrapnel explode, you know, 10 feet from you or 4 feet from you by wall, you just raise voice, you know, and that was our.
So you were ready. You were ready to die on
any
day.
You just put nose in manure, and you just never can imagine that you can survive. You guys just one fire, one smoke, you know. When I saw later, second attack, right. We was on the Russian side already. When they just said, one moment, and you walking all around, you don't see these cannons over there. This mask and, you know, camouflage.
Right, they're all camouflaged.
And finally see this cannon shooting here. And plane coming, you know, 4 or 5 planes shooting, throwing bomb, and coming another coming in the same place. You can't imagine, you can't survive that spot.
And you were 10 years old watching this.
So they want to take us from front, because still front, German and Russian here, we are very close. So go to east to river. So we're walking little valley, like drainage valley, you know this. Uh-huh. You cannot step that many body. You cannot step. It's like trail. You cannot step. You have to step something in the body, you know, and all kind, so many body and some life. So we get out. We come to find it by this river. And I don't know what these people come from. It was lots of people, you know, and all like some kind of mountain fair, you know, so many people, you know.
So these were just people who lived there.
Who, like, they sit someplace like rats in a basement or whatever, root cellars, and that's it. And
when the battle was over, they all came out. And then the plane came.
Yeah, German plane was coming, and we was worried about that he can come.
So you weren't safe. You weren't safe. The Russians weren't your friends, and the Germans weren't your friends.
Well, you know, we think Russian was friends, but after a while we find out that they want to do whatever, because they say we give you freedom, so you have to do it whatever you want. So anyway, night, going through the night, and we find some German bunkers, and so ladies with kids going to, and, you know, men and boys, wherever they can find place. And my oldest brother, he find trench, you know, was like limestone, you know, and the trench, and it was little straw. She said, come on, we can sleep here through the night. So we lay down. It looks like this. Some soldiers stay a long time in this trench, because this straw was smashed already. And maybe half hour or so, something, what's going on? We couldn't sleep the rest of the night. You know, lice was like this. Was hairy lice, you know. You know, and so
the trench was full of lice.
He stayed a long time, you know. So, but we don't have food, so we have to walk trenches and look. Oh, some German blood. They have little loft, square, dry like stone, but it was so tasty,
something
so good.
Eat.
Anyway, so later on, I see so many grenade. So I take wire and put this grenade, you know, this hand grenade was wooden handle, and like can here, you open and you can pull.
So you were collecting grenades?
Yeah, why? Because we take this grenade and we come to river, you throw this grenade in river and explode and paralyze fish. And the fish come up, so we can have food, you know. And Russian soldiers say, where do you come from? We'll have this fish. We can have maybe 10 fish. I say, oh, family, whoever with us, we can have food, you know. And we explain him what we did. He said, come with us. And he gave grenade, you know, like a quarter can, maybe bigger, and short handle for when they threw into the tanks.
So bigger grenade.
Yeah. When he threw this grenade, this water shoot up like biggest trees.
Wow.
And oh, so much fish come, so many fish. And so finally we catch, and finally my brother caught that big fish.
Like 3 foot.
Yeah, and he leave us all this fish, just took this big one and go away. So we have more fish. And so people was happy that we got, you know, food, you know. Yeah.
How long did it take you to recover from that experience?
I still don't recover, you know, always. But right now I feel like I saw movie or I wrote book, you know, or something, you know, but a long time. So, but you know, for a while you are so scared, but later you don't care, you know, you just see shrapnel, it means he going away. This shrapnel would explode close to you, never hear him. But shrapnel who was going up,
so you learned to know that the what sound,
yeah,
whether it was dangerous or not.
Yeah, but you cannot be smart to be safe. You know, you can do anything. You know, and you never know where they come from.
That was Kazimierz Kozak, remembering when his childhood ended. Kazimierz is in his 90s now, but he still carries that little boy near his heart. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. If you're interested in hearing other stories, you can access our archive at immigrantstories.net. That's all one word, immigrantstories.net. There you'll find over 200 stories. You can also find Immigrant Stories on Facebook and at kdnk.org. Immigrant Stories is also available as a podcast. Thanks so much for listening.